This, Mr. Chairman, this just provides that the, it's up to the defendant to prove that he comes within some of the libraries or exemption. It simply restates the existing law.
No.
Move adopt.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carry. Section 9.
Move we approve section 9.
Mr. Roger, you all understand it, huh?
Well, it says restates the existing law to reflect the...
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
And,
How are you on the Constitution?
It's something they've spent quite a bit of time in section 9, and there,
it doesn't just
there have been some problems expressed by that.
You don't always believe that.
It says so, Bob.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no.
Oh, wait.
Oh, somebody had to read it.
Say no.
No, this is the one that gives the, what is the state? It's the alcohol division, 12cc, investigative division, known for cars, virtually only cars which are impounded for alcohol violations.
Federal Bureau of Narcotics.
Come on, this is state university.
Federal Bureau of Narcotics, it's all there.
Well, it seems to me it's a little bit strange that you forfeit the title to a boat vehicle in advance.
And then the food air.
The Nance? Did you get your career there? To me, this is going, this is a bit far, and actually nothing more than what almost might be an unusual punishment to, because I have to be there. I'm going to pick up the Chrysler New Yorker and call it in.
But
also the problem, also the problem as to what's the state of the title as far as lien holders, owner of record as opposed to registered owner.
Oh, you want to talk about that?
Can it be?
What about
they're ahead
without warrant?
State.
Are they?
We went into that far here in research.
Watch them out of the right answer.
Yep.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, in the criminal law report this week, Supreme Court, Arizona Supreme Court case on an identical statute. Court Geronimo Bell's on marijuana statute of constitution. As long as the owner had some connection with the unlawful act, or condoned or knew of the intended unlawful use. In drafting this intent requirement, the court defines the doctor using the trial court the statute is unconstitutional in its face.
So you loan the car to your kid, but you don't loan it to him for the purpose of carrying marijuana around so they can't keep it. But if you tell the kid, look, go ahead and take the stuff over and say, I'm going to use you, and then you lose the car.
That's
close
to the facts of the case. It was the mother's car and the son used it and had possession of marijuana, and they wouldn't allow the state to report in that case because she had no knowledge of its use.
You've got another problem here, too, is that section 1 doesn't require knowledge on the part of the person who's in or about to advance.
Can you seize my county cards because I have that pillbox in it?
They're out there now. I think Don may call them.
No, really, I get a due process deal with this thing. You're getting a carte blanche for any dumb cop who wants to search a car.
I
say, I'm looking for narcotics. Excuse me, Don, you're a commissioner.
No. Keep forgetting dumb commissioner.
I want to be recorded.
You are.
You're
what? We think, why are that people lying?
Mr. Chairman, the commentary reflects the fact that there's some constitutional question about the validity of the Section 1. As I recall, however, the subcommittee felt that it was essentially a restatement of existing law, and the forfeiture provision is basically a useful provision, and that since the commission directed us to simply make as few changes as possible. We make as few changes as possible, recognizing that if somebody wants to take the case up, maybe he'll have a pretty good shot at the fact that they're authorizing searches and warrants and so on.
As a member of that subcommittee, I know the subcommittee isn't always right.
Yeah.
No, but you've got a perfect opportunity here to take the case up.
So you want to vote.
well. Mr. Chairman, I want to be recorded. I think you've already had the vote on it, but maybe...
No, we had the vote.
Yes, we did.
You got all the ayes.
You got all the ayes.
And you said no's, and he started off.
Yeah, I want to be recorded voting no, because I seriously question the validity of this warrantless search provision here. Not as much...
Oregon Supreme Court.
I have less and less confidence in both it and the Oregon Court of Appeals.
Put that in the...
Why don't you run against the vote?
Well, you got a couple copies of that.
I didn't mention to you this morning when I was telling you about the Keith case. The senator here was losing counsel in that case.
Section 10.
I made that Keith remark.
I defer to this polling.
This has been... If the guy is unconfident information, then he shall. It doesn't say he may, but he shall search the damn thing without a warrant. He's violating it if he goes and gets a warrant.
That's right. I don't like that.
Well, we'll be happy to accommodate you to that extent.
Hey, I'll move with change the shall and may.
You are a middle of the road, aren't you?
I assume, Mr. Chairman, that your decision on this then reinstates the possibility of voting in the section.
Yes, I really think that we should.
You're diminishing the legislative intent as expressed rather clearly in the last session.
That's right.
Well, that is true. This is a rewrite of the existing law.
Voice from the
dead. Did you make a motion? Representative Senator B. Carson?
Well, thank you, sir. Yes, I changed shall to
shall
name. 1, 2, 3, 4.
You have heard the...
Five.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no?
No.
Carry.
Is implicit in that changing the shall to may, second line from the end of that subsection?
Now that's really kind of weird language there.
What side are you on?
Well, I'm on the side of
justice.
Long
but, it says he shall without delay make and file a complaint. This really strikes me rather ludicrous, but it's in the present statute. And as we said in the subcommittee, we were directed to make two changes.
Chairman, I move to strike section 9.
Section 9? Heard the motion. Call the roll.
Judge Burns?
No.
Sandra Burns?
Aye.
Carson?
No.
Chandler?
No.
Clark?
No.
Frost?
Aye.
Jernstedt?
No.
Johnson? Spaulding?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
No.
Mr. Chairman, I think we strike subsection 2 of section 9.
You heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
I don't know.
Opposed, no.
No.
Motion is failed. Any further motions? Pause.
Record me as voting aye.
Now is there a motion
forget
on
the
section as amended?
Are you still on 9? Your four gun registration. I've got an NRA by that this morning. You've got an NRA rugger by that this morning. Where in the hell is
it? I saw that flag.
He's trying to build another position, Bob.
Trying to live with a Democratic platform, right?
You ought to go back to Spain. Get another haircut.
Mr. Chairman, I move to adopt section 9 as amended.
All those in favor say aye.
Roll
aye.
Call.
Opposed?
Aye.
Carry. Section 10.
I'll show in the minutes of section 9. It's the only thing we ever adopted twice. Different forms. Old Article 7, new Article 7.
We're going to see how Lester Maddox constructionist might be for constitutional things like this.
I move the adoption of Section 10.
It's simply restating the existing law.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carry. Is this an appropriate time for a 15-minute recess?
Yeah, we're coming to a stream.
Okay. It's a nice non-controversial subject. And the subcommittee wasn't right.
428.
do know anything about New York to stay on. Sub-3, dangerous contraband. You better come back and get out of the statute. 4, detention facility. Means any place used for the confinement of persons charged with or convicted of a crime or otherwise confined pursuant to a court order. It does not include a juvenile training school and applies to a state hospital only as the persons detained therein charged with or convicted of a crime or detained therein after acquittal of a crime by reason of mental disease or defect pursuant to Section 12 of the Charter of Responsibility. The reason these exemptions are made some persons are not chargeable with escape. For example, those patients in a state hospital who are there
here,
not charged with a convicted crime, such as juveniles at Gilcrest or Woodburn or any of their other training schools. And so that the penal provisions on our state do not apply to these people, so we have to make the exception on that. Five, escape means the unlawful departure of a person from custody or a detention facility. Six, just defines juvenile training school, and that by listing the juvenile training schools in Oregon. 7 is the peace officer, the same definition we've been using.
Under 7.6 is the 420 reference to the juvenile camps in
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
And sub 8 defines state hospitals in Oregon. Now there's one question on the definition of peace officer in subsection 7. John, is that is a question that was raised whether campus police should have the same authority under this article as other police officers.
This is a question Frank Knight raised with respect to campus police. We wrote to Ray Underwood, who's attorney for the Board of Education, and they feel it should not be.
Well, Mr. Underwood's other substance that he feels that for the limited purposes of this article, at least, it seems that a peace officer should, campus police should be included within the meaning of a peace officer. While their jurisdiction is limited to traffic offenses, he apparently feels that if making an arrest for a traffic offense on an area within their jurisdiction, they should have the authority to anyone they arrested should be subject to a charge of escape if they escape from their custody.
Are campus police officers subject to the police management training facility?
No, I don't think they are.
Well, as a policy matter, we're very loath to extend any of the sanctions of this code to anyone who is not certified.
That's good.
Because I think the only way I would get complete certification and good cops for the good cops would be to have more people who have to be trained such as they are without
training. Depends on what part of the state you're in, what they are.
No,
you don't have
to. Training requires.
Well, that's only one class of selection.
Well, that's one point though.
Standard, that's only one standard.
One certification only we have in the state, and that's one. Hopefully, it will be increasing. But to start making exceptions to those people and giving them powers to be using the state.
I think that the exceptions the federal government made in the Omnibus Crime Bill and left campus police out of the benefits of the Omnibus Crime Bill was a disaster. They cannot apply for or receive grants and aid or cannot get the forgivable loans or anything else, and yet some of our most severe police problems today are on campuses.
They can be deputized by the local
yeah.
Well, why not?
In most cases. Your police standards and training sections define police officer as meaning an officer or member of a law enforcement unit who is employed full time as a peace officer commissioned by a city or county and who is responsible for enforcing the criminal laws of the state. Presumably, those are the police officers who would be eligible.
And campus police, I'm sure, can be deputized, confirmed, or authorized by the jurisdiction of the campus, if they meet the requirements.
Well, they should either, I think we should either have, well, this is probably a different question, have campus policemen be fully certified, fully professionally trained policemen, or not even have them.
I agree with that. Scares me. I agree.
But is this an area that we need to get into that?
No, I
don't.
Well, of course, you don't have all constables and all marshals and all sheriffs and municipal police.
Yes, you do.
Not sheriff, deputy sheriff.
Cities above 1,000, isn't it?
Yeah, cities above 1,000. Every police officer state has to be certified.
We got two people in our county that don't have to be certified, the sheriff.
Not like them.
And the sister city marshal.
Constable?
No. Even the city marshal, unless he's elected.
If he's in town of 1,000.
How about adding maybe a person that doesn't...
Yeah, they're making things, I'm going to make them build it.
Person's designated...
Somebody is going to use that one of these days, and on cross-examination, ask an officer, are you a certified peace officer instead of working?
Mm-hmm. This is a great program, by the way, I'll get into that, but it's unusual for you to be flagging for cops, but I don't think it's...
I'll say it is.
or copying for flags. Mr. Chairman, are we at the stage where we can discuss the various definitions?
Yeah.
Well, we were on this question about what a peace officer is. I think there is somebody in these campus police. We have some real problems.
Well, they can be police officers if they are appointed by the jurisdiction of the outbreak. They meet the qualifications. My understanding would be if they were so appointed, they would fall within the total exception of any campus police officer who may be the town drunk or the...
I was going to suggest...
Is the fire watchman?
How about just a proviso on here or other persons designated as a peace officer by the government.
Why is it all right the way it is? They can deputize these people, and this article only pertains to escape.
Where do we have
definitions for this purpose?
Where do we use the term peace officer in here?
Under the definitions. Six of them.
We have peace officers.
Use it all the way through the code.
No, I mean this specific.
All right, listen.
In this specific statute, for
it's in April.
I think Judge Burns has some sentences now to add to the cross. That's about the law.
Well, that is a way to get shot down.
Section 1. And we are on escape. A red tab.
Yeah,
bottom of the.
Yeah, I understand all that. But where in this particular statute do we have to use the word peace officer? Where is it? Why are we defining it?
It's defined because it's used in other definitions.
Means the unlawful departure of a person from custody.
The reason I'm saying this, you do not include a correctional officer for the state of Oregon.
Well, when he's included under a specific statute in the corrections code, that's why we did it. We're not lucky for that. He's incorporated into the statutory definition.
He's got or a jailer. Or any jailer?
Well, we get to the jailer situation under our sections here.
Not Multnomah County anymore.
You have a sheriff up there.
They have a corrections officer, doesn't
they? Don't have a sheriff.
There's a public safety. Bart sells for.
You mean a jailer who's away from the jail with a prisoner in his personal custody?
Yeah.
Who is not a peace officer?
Yeah. We transport them all the time.
Driving the bus down to the courthouse in the morning?
Those are deputy sheriffs.
No, they are not.
You gotta give me more devils. Somebody wants to get through.
Deputy sheriff is a civil service classification, which is totally separate. Has different standards, different pay, different uniform. We have the position of county corrections officer.
That's because people don't like.
They're not deputized.
The court guards are county corrections.
No, those are deputy sheriffs.
Even though all counties have to change this procedure.
Yeah, you're gonna have to rewrite a definition up there, instead of letting us rewrite them all for you.
I agree. I think the whole system stinks.
I thought that you don't call them sheriff up there anymore, no?
Well, the deputies are still called deputy sheriffs. Although there technically isn't a sheriff.
I think you'll be a deputy if somebody.
Don, one way that that doesn't really become a problem is because once they've been committed to a detention facility, they are in the constructive custody of that detention facility, no matter where they are. So they're going to be guilty of escape from a detention facility and not from custody.
Even when they're not physically there?
Yes.
This is when they're in a place used for confinement, a person charged with a crime.
Sure.
Or convicted.
The bus.
That means a county jail.
Or the bus going down the courthouse.
Or a power plant.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I had a question about dangerous contraband. Did you want to defer that to later? The thing that struck me about dangerous contraband was the breadth of the definition. And I must say that I foresee some claims of vagueness by those charged with this definition. Contraband whose use would endanger the safety or security of the detention facility. Would that be a match?
Well,
that's very clear, Jim.
Huh?
That's very clear.
Mr. Chairman, it's worse if you contraband means any article or thing which a person can find in a detention facility, juvenile training school, or state hospital is prohibited from obtaining or possessing by statute, rule, regulation, or order. Now, I worked at San Quentin Prison, and one of the common arrests of inmates within the institution were taken into further custody and placed in separation was for the crime of carrying concealed sandwiches because they were contraband except in the dining hall. Now, if we really want to give the weight of Oregon law to that kind of stuff.
Well, I think if you'll read our sections, I think you'll see, Don, that we're not giving that kind of coverage because these definitions, the definition of contraband becomes important in our sections on supplying contraband.
Supplying sandwiches.
Not on possession of contraband. We're trying to get at the guy who introduces this stuff into a detention facility.
Okay, sandwiches.
Don, you didn't answer.
Well, if the warden says you can't bring sandwiches,
funny books.
The warden says you can't bring sandwiches into the prisoners. I think that there's a legitimate reason for not bringing sandwiches to the prison.
Well, there may be a legitimate reason, but you want to get the full weight of Oregon law behind something like that? Funny books. The Willamette Bridge. There was the chief jailer in Multnomah County said that they weren't going to allow the Willamette Bridge in the jail anymore. Well, there had been a policy for years back in the jails that there was no censorship of anything that was published like that. So it was reversed. But do you want to have somebody guilty of a crime because they somehow supplied a copy of the Willamette Bridge to the jail, inside the jail?
It's going to be in danger of the safety or security.
No, that's neither.
Start a riot.
It would be, assuming that such a thing were on the list of prohibited items for the prison, and it was, and the individual knew it was on the list, and he furnished them to the inmate, he would violate Section 6, in my opinion.
What was the Willamette Bridge published article? It said, probably at 3 minutes after 7 next Tuesday night, a horn would sound outside the courtroom. Rocky View jail. When they heard it, so all the prisoners started raising a hullabaloo and kicking up things and tearing furniture apart and so forth and so on. Do you think it should be allowed in the jail under those circumstances?
Well, I think it should be allowed. It's a question of whether it would be a crime to get that in there or not.
If you were in charge of the jail, would you allow it?
Probably, because it probably couldn't be stopped anyway if they were going to start something like that. You might as well have it in there in that form as any other.
Well, how are officials or administrators of a detention facility expected to maintain order among the inmates of these institutions if you don't have some controls over what people outside of the institutions can or cannot do with respect to those inmates? Are you going to have rules that say the inmates can't do these things, but you're going to just have a carte blanche?
Inmate can't have a hacksaw, but it's okay for his wife to break into a cake.
No, we're not talking about hacksaws, we're talking about some of this other stuff. And it's done all the time.
We're talking about hacksaws too.
We're also talking about photographs.
Well, wouldn't that be up to the discretion of the whoever's in charge of that jail to use some common sense in the list of proscribed articles that could be introduced into that jail?
Well, the way these lists are usually written is that it's not a list of things that are prohibited. It's a list of things that are allowed and everything else is prohibited.
Well, same thing.
There is an allegation of legislation held on training school authorities?
Yes. What is training detention facilities? Is it a misdemeanor? It is.
Whatever they decide. It's
a misdemeanor. Yeah, but how about the constitutionality?
It's a misdemeanor, I think you can.
Well, it's the same approach used by Michigan and New York. The only other answer would be to attempt to lay out in the statute exactly what we mean by contraband, and that's really a correctional department decision that I don't see how we could make.
The subcommittee, has a problem.
Is it a misdemeanor or what?
We don't know.
Presumably it would be a misdemeanor. Well, it's a misdemeanor, I don't know if there's any constitutional problem.
The subcommittee went through this thing and looked up on rule, regulation,
order.
And we fought, and the only conclusion we could come to, and I think we finally all came to the same
violation of administrative rules,
that you cannot write this much detail into a set of statutes. That you've got to have, if you're going to have a guy in charge of a facility, you're going to have some authority to say what's a problem or could be a problem in his facility and not wait for 2 years in some case or 18 months until the already legislature took up.
I have been associated with penal facilities in the variety of ways I've worked in them. I don't have very much faith in the kind of people that populate the paid positions in those places. I'm not going to bleed and die on this issue. I just think it could get to the point of being ridiculous. Application.
Well, of course, any administrative rule can get the point of being ridiculous in its application. But the appointing authority the administrator is going to have to accept some responsibility. Under our system, eventually we'll get to the voter.
Judge Bird, you're satisfied, now you stirred something up.
Remarked to Roger, I sure pulled the boo-boo there and stirred that one.
Could we go on now and then come back
I'm
and argue
sorry
about
it? You said it.
Now let's go to section two and see how some of this ludicrous stuff applies.
On page 10, we have 3 degrees of escape. Distinctions between them based on factors that create higher risks of harm to those people responsible for custody and detention of prisoners. Section 2 would be the lowest degree, escape in the third degree. A person commits a crime of escape in the third degree if he escapes from custody, that is prior to commitment to a penal institution. And because of our definition of custody, we exclude juveniles.
Why would you say lawful custody the way it puts section 2?
What?
You said it escapes from lawful custody. Custody pursuant to penal arrest
point you in sub two?
Yeah, talk about sub two.
Pretty right about sub two, sure.
You want to allow the guy to escape from illegal arrest?
Yeah, only from custody.
How about custody, but arrest you can't. There's no escape from official detention. Detention is improper.
And this would be without the use of any threats or force. In other words, to run away.
You're saying they're always going to walk out the
door. Just walks away.
This is limited to non-forcible.
Yeah, okay.
No threat, no force.
I think there's some sense in those, but
yeah.
I make that motion.
Insert the word lawful.
I'm not going to vote for it, John. I think Dave ought to be able to make him credit for it.
I'd like to hear what the subcommittee or staff had to say about it.
I don't think we considered that.
As I recall, they discussed it in the commentary.
Yeah, and we talked about this a great deal, as I recall, and this was a redraft in the subcommittee. And we wanted to make it a defense rather than an element of the crime itself. In other words, we have defined custody. And that means pursuant to an arrest or court order, et cetera, et cetera. And if it's an illegal arrest, this would be an issue to be raised by the defendant rather than be pleaded and proved by the prosecutor. In other words, you wouldn't plead lawful custody. You would plead the escape from custody.
I understand it also that the purpose of having this is to have the lawfulness determined in court and not out in the street. Duty at the moment is to submit and to decide the validity or non-invalidity, not out in the street, but in the courthouse.
That would give some almost license to escape. Not license, but would encourage me anyway if the person thought it was unlawful. An unlawful arrest.
That's defense anyway.
What?
Defense anyway.
Defense to me.
Well, I'm perfectly willing to permit Dave to make the motion if you're both. I'm not sure there is a difference, though. I think you did discuss it.
We certainly did. I'm just trying to find the minutes from the subcommittee.
You got the subcommittee minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you did.
Was this in the...
This was in my...
It was in your subcommittee.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm sure that's apple pie order.
It's not a controversial thing to come out of that stuff.
That's no big point, really. I don't mean to make a thing out of it, but it seems to me that it would be a part of the state's case when he had gotten an escape to show that there had been law professors. The mere fact he's there, I don't think it would be sufficient, but the fact he's there serves the court order, whether conviction, whatever it may be, it's the rest. And I think the burden should be in the state, in their case in chief, the burden is a lawful arrest, or at least make the show. And the rebuttal, they can come back and show it up because it challenged me. It's not a big thing. We're shifting a defense in effect, it's not in law, to the defendant to raise the issue. The issue is to raise the state.
Is it a big thing?
Big enough for a motion. It doesn't make very big. I would move that between the words from and custody and subsection under section 2, that we insert the word lawful, and that we strike subsection 2 of section 2.
You've read the motion. Any further discussion? Well, I'd like to raise a question. Now, we use the term custody now again in escape in second degree and escape in first degree.
and there we don't modify custody as lawful custody. Now, I'm not sure that you want to, because there were, you know, there were saying that it doesn't matter, you can't use force and you can't do certain things in escaping. And what we were trying to do was draw a very limited, narrow exception to this.
The logic seems to me a bit tenuous when you say that it's all right to use no force to escape from illegal custody. However, if you use reasonable force to escape from illegal custody, it doesn't make any difference, you're still guilty. It would seem to me that custody, if it's illegal or unlawful, is not custody, it's void ab initio.
Why
do you have a right to get away with it?
This commission has gone on record already as being opposed to the idea of the street confrontation situation, yeah, trying to litigate the lawfulness of the arrest at the time of the arrest. The subcommittee said, well, we're going to give you one exception to this, and that is that if you can do it peaceably and it doesn't involve escaping from a detention facility and you don't use force, you just walk away from an illegal arrest, that's going to be a defense. But that's
the answer to that argument is, and I remember the argument, just the answer is that then you're guilty of two crimes. Both escape from, at that point, lawful detention, plus whatever you were arrested for in the first place. It's like the recall deal. You're recalled, you don't come back, it's another crime. In addition to the crime, you forfeit your recall. I think that's the proper way. I don't like the idea of us saying, just because you're locked up, automatically locked up. Because the constable of the city of Gaston doesn't like your sister-in-law and throws you in the jug, and if you punch him in the ear as you walk out, you have no defense. Say, please, may I go, and walk out, you're all right. It just isn't consistent.
We're not saying, because if he were in the detention facility, he couldn't escape, but it wouldn't be escaping the third degree then, because...
Punch him in the ear.
That would bring him up to second degree.
It would be second degree, right.
And then he wouldn't have any defense at all.
What if we had somebody in the chamber?
Mr. Chairman, I have to return. At least my mind is not functioning correctly to solve all this.
We've just got to go on, because if we do, we've got a good chance getting through by noon tomorrow.
If we're going to adjourn just because our minds aren't functioning correctly,
we're months beyond that.
Our
minds.
What we were trying to do is, came up with earlier, is to maintain the integrity of the system. No, I don't think that we ought to throw the system out, because you've got a bad love situation on occasion. You've got to assume that you're supposed to that officers are not going to make them off.
Well, here's it, Bob. However, the situation, the man is willing to, he's strongly enough convinced himself it's an illegal arrest, that he's going to leave. He puts himself in jeopardy of a second crime if the arrest is lawful. He already has one crime, the one for which he was put in detention.
We discussed this at a considerable amount of length in the subcommittee, and I think this is consistent with the position that we've taken on justification
and resisting arrest.
And we say here, rather than inserting lawful there and putting the burden on the prosecution and putting the state in jeopardy of getting a directed verdict because the deputy district attorney didn't prove all the elements of a lawful arrest, we are in this instance...
confidence along with discretion for the prosecution.
Well, we permit the defendant to litigate it here, but in the other instance, if the guy is convinced that it's an illegal arrest, he has recourse to immediately get released. And I don't see where it's a problem.
Well, it brings to mind, I've got a dog control officer in Washington County that doesn't like me too well.
Doesn't like Hitler very well either, does it?
Well, no, I'm not involved in it, thank you. But it's the same type of thing. He's kind of a psycho. And he has the power to arrest. For a personal matter, he'd love to arrest me. I've got dogs, but you're getting
going back against the guy. Are you speaking for him or against him, bro?
Well, if he does, on private property in my house, I'm going to bust him in the mouth and knock him over the curb.
That's escaping the second.
It's a reasonable force, mind you.
Here's an example of a conflict of interest.
Yeah, right. Are you going to declare that on your report?
Mr. Chairman, is there a motion for this body?
No.
I would move that we would accept section 2 as presented.
Oh, there is, I beg your pardon, there is a motion that we insert the word law.
No, I withdraw it.
That was my motion, John.
Law withdraw it, then.
And section 2 be, sub 2 be deleted.
Question.
Do you want to call a roll or take a voice roll? Call a roll.
Judge Burns?
No.
Senator Burns?
No.
Parsons?
No.
Chandler?
No.
Clark?
No.
Frost?
Yeah. One inside, just one.
Burns, yeah?
No.
John?
No.
Baldy?
No.
Mr. Chairman?
I can't leave him alone. Aye.
Harry!
I move we approve section 2.
Chairman, I'm by way of explanation, I think to amplify the remarks. This commission has gone on record that we're in favor of law and order in spite of Representative Frost.
Motion has been made that section 2 be approved. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Carried. Section 3.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question about section 3, sub 2. As I understand it, the draft here provides definite degrees, and they make it second degree escape if he escapes from custody having been convicted of a felony. Now, does that mean he escapes from the custody imposed in the conviction of a felony, or does it mean that whenever he has ever been convicted of a felony, he escapes from custody?
Has he been convicted on a charge at that time? Why?
He's serving. He walks away. Custody, well,
that's not what that
says. That isn't
right. It seems to me it's susceptible of either interpretation, and I don't know what the subcommittee wanted, so I thought I would read.
Well, the subcommittee wanted. But the legislative history shows, as someone was fond of saying, that as of the time you sustained a felony conviction, then it's worse to walk away than it is if you've been arrested illegally.
Well, in other words, if the person is charged with a felony, it doesn't matter, he escapes while he's on his way to the courthouse for trial.
No.
That's different than if he escapes after he has been convicted and he's on his way back to the jail and penitentiary.
Now, he's on his way to the courthouse for trial, and he pops the jailer in the ear and walks away in that second degree.
Having been
convicted, he walks away, period. He's guilty of second degree.
I don't think that the commentary accurately reflects this interpretation. I don't care either.
Maybe not.
Well, what subsection 2 means is having been convicted of a felony, he escapes from custody pursuant to that conviction.
I think we ought to add that word to make it clear. I was on that subcommittee and we didn't notice.
Right. And what we were trying to get at was the guy who had not, maybe he'd been charged with a felony, but he hasn't been placed in a detention facility yet. He's gone to trial, he's been convicted, and he's remanded to the custody of the sheriff. And he's on his way to the jailhouse, and then he escapes before he gets into the detention facility. We were trying to cover that kind of situation.
And I think we ought to add a few words.
Yeah,
This would apply to an ex-convict.
Yeah, that's right.
This applies to the guy at the forest camp.
Suppose we say
the farm.
Following the word custody, imposed pursuant to such conviction.
Yeah.
How about
lawful custody? The other question I want to raise in connection with that language, Mr. Chairman, is whether or not it is clear that convicted in this sense means the jury verdict has come in, or that means the sentence has been imposed. The reason I say that is, there is a significant lapse of time in Multnomah County and perhaps in other counties during the pre-sentence period, during which there has been a jury verdict rendered, but there has been no trial order reflecting the receipt of the verdict. If there's been no judgment pronounced there.
Technically, there is no conviction until there is a judgment.
The reason I have raised that is because this came up in a somewhat different context recently in court, in which the witness testified, and on for the defendant, and on cross-examination, prosecutor sought to impeach him by saying, have you ever been convicted of a crime? He said no, when in fact he had been found guilty the week before in my court. So they had a big hassle, and in any event, ultimately the judge made a ruling on it. But it points up the problem that without a definition and where there's 6 weeks or 2 months time lag in almost every case where a pre-sentence is ordered, although I think the time lag is a little less in, outside of Multnomah County. And this is the particular time when he is very likely to escape, or try to. We ought to make it clear that conviction means either one or the other. Again, I don't care what policy it is.
But
it seems to me we ought to make it clear that convicted means one or the other.
In line with the commentary of James Best, I have another suggestion. I can't see a particular reason for having separate definitions for custody and detention facility. It seems to me that custody should encompass the incarceration of detention facility as well as the custody imposed after arrest and taking the defendant to the station house. And I think that might clear the problem that James got. Why not say custody is custody? Because it's worse to escape from a poor dumb cop who's hauling you into the station when the time is really ripe for escape, as opposed to be putting in the state penitentiary or the CIV at Rocky Butte or wherever else.
I think well, we've tried to say it is worse to escape from the detention facility than from the poor dumb cop.
Well, as a policy matter, should it be really?
Because of the danger to the possibility of danger to more people, of disrupting the jail.
One person worth more than the life of three.
And we felt that there would be the likelihood of more persons becoming involved if they were involved in escape from a jail or a detention facility.
Under your logic, we would have about 17 degrees of murder.
Well, I think his premise is still sound, that the degree of risk to more people, we're not talking about being guilty, if the degree of risk is greater to more people, then the degree of the crime should be greater.
Well, I see a voice bullet coming up on that question. Let me shift to another one. And that is in subsection 1 of section 2, the words are threatens to use. Are we really going to put escape in the second degree a charge of that kind of guy who says to his jailer, now I'd like to bust you in the mouth if you really rot in SLB?
Only if he says, if you don't let me escape, I'll bust you in the mouth.
You're in case, were it not SI's time, I would smite you with my sword.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman?
So we only get threats involved in escape in the second degree, which would probably be a felony.
Yeah, it's probably a low-grade felony.
A low-grade felony, because I want to shoot off my mouth and take the safety valve off my fist. Seems to me, again.
You've got to escape.
You've got to escape.
That's another element of defense.
Yeah, if he just threatens the jailer and doesn't escape, we'll get him someplace else. Yeah.
I don't remember what your verbiage was, but it seemed to have solved the problem. I would move we adopt section 3 and 4, with your verbiage inserted in subsection 2 of section 3.
But it doesn't solve Jim's question unless we say something like, having been convicted by jury verdict or plea of guilty of a felony, he escapes from custody imposed pursuant to such conviction.
I so move.
Well, I'm going to say, just having been convicted or found guilty. He's found guilty.
Well,
yeah.
Guilty plea, the entering of guilty plea, you find him guilty at that point.
Felony. If it was taking and using or illegal possession, the jury...
Yeah, they wouldn't know it was a felony or misdemeanor until it was sent.
It would be a felony at that juncture. Because...
Would be only reduced to a misdemeanor at the time of sentence.
Correct. Correct.
Well, this time you could be all right then.
I so move.
Well, excuse me, what is the language?
Having been convicted by jury verdict for plea of guilty.
The custody, when you use your word language, Tony, imposed pursuant to such conviction, the custody at the county jail where it's waiting for
you. That isn't the way you said it before, Tony.
No, I know it isn't, but I don't know what I said exactly before.
Because I don't think technically he is convicted until there is a judgment. So, having been convicted or found guilty by jury or plea of guilt.
By jury verdict or plea.
Yeah.
Well, they could then found guilty by the court.
I think that if you use the words convicted or found guilty and then include in the commentary a statement simply that found guilty means jury conviction or entry of plea, jury or judge conviction or entry of plea, that would take care of that.
Yeah.
What was your language on the other end?
Imposed pursuant to such conviction.
Well,
and that kind of balls it up then.
In custody and pursuant.
Pursuant thereto.
Yeah,
those are such.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if you say pursuant thereto or in connection therewith.
Yeah.
What I'm thinking about is.
Custody imposed as a result thereof.
I have a solution for it.
What?
That would be the custody.
Yeah, that is new, because whatever custody he's then in would be. Yeah.
The result thereof would relate back to conviction or found guilty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, to quote the inimitable Anthony Y. Curry, never before have I ever heard such verbiage, not even then.
This is something which heretofore now up until now was completely unknown, even then.
Say, I heard it. Did I tell you the one that maybe about the final argument where the lawyer got the one all wound up and he says, having shown you that the argument proposed by my opponent is utterly impossible, I will now demonstrate that it is extremely improbable.
Well, that would read that having been convicted or found guilty of a felony, he escapes therefrom, escapes from custody imposed as a result thereof.
Yeah.
And with a commentary to
yes.
Reflect that found guilty means what it
that's
really
very clear.
The commentary to reflect what it really means.
Now is there a motion to amend?
Well, I would include all this in my motion.
All right, all in favor say aye.
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 No.
That's Harry. Clark's third motion.
Motion.
And now that's on the amendment, now an adoption as
Vice,
amended.
Mr. Chairman.
Voice vote.
My conscience requires me to make a short motion.
Very well, fine.
And that is, we add as a subsection 4 to section 3, present wording of section 2, subsection 2 of section 2, adding between the words custody and pursuant, the words
lawful
detention or detention facility. So it would be a defense to escape in second degree if the custody, either custody as defined or imprisonment in a detention facility, was made pursuant to an illegal arrest. Arrest only under the conviction would be justified.
If he got a reversal on the Supreme Court after having been convicted, then Yeah, but I was on white nonsense.
And he busted the jailer in the
nose. No, but he can escape it.
Well, yeah, the mandate came in, and well, not the killing part, but the escaping part.
There's,
yeah, the mandate was that the verdict be...
What was it, the district attorney and the special was attorney for escaping, so far?
There's an interesting opinion now out of New York, the U.S. Supreme Court just a couple of months ago that shows that where you escape, while your appeal is pending, the appeal is to be dismissed.
Well, right. What? Yeah. Oh, you've abandoned your appeal when you escaped?
Yeah. Spake
the law. The U.S. Supreme Court?
United States Supreme Court.
Mr. Chairman, I'd ask for a roll call vote and ask how the attorney general awakened.
All those in favor of the attorney general being awakened?
No.
Wide awake. I'm listening to the debate.
Did you,
and that's
were
why
you serious about the motion for sub 4? You
heard me. I'm serious because I don't think that there is any logical reason for having escape in the third degree different than escape in the second degree or escape in the first degree. I would put it as a matter of record, I intend to make the same motion for escape in the first degree, unless this goes down overwhelmingly, which I'm sure it will, in which case I will take your time. But that's my favorite.
Right, so Chairman, I move the table, Representative Frost's motion.
I don't think that you can, we recognized earlier, I don't think you can move to the table a motion. You want to call a roll or have a voice vote?
That's right.
Roll call on the motion of Representative Frost to add sub 4 to section 3. I want to vote on his deal. Call a roll.
Jedburn.
No.
Vanderburn.
Nay.
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 Carson.
Nine.
Chandler.
No.
Clark.
No.
Frost.
We.
That's the only time you've been we all day.
No.
Trying to give myself a press.
Johnson.
I'm going to vote aye because I don't like the chairman's.
Arbitrary decision. Arbitrary and capricious
decision.
No.
Mr. Chairman.
No.
I'd like to change my vote.
Defeated. Now is there a motion to adopt Section 3 as amended? You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no.
No.
Carry. Section 4.
First degree escape. The first degree of the escapee is aided by another person actually present and uses or threatens to use physical force escaping from custody or detention facility. Or uses or threatens to use a dangerous or deadly weapon in escaping from custody.
Move approved. Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question? Do we use here the definition of dangerous or deadly weapon in the general definition section?
Yes.
Why?
That's a good commentary on this one, fellas.
Yeah.
I have another question. Same wording again, I'm bothered by this, but for instance, subsection 2 of section 4 says threatens to use a deadly weapon in escaping. In escaping in futuro, or is that something that's actually common? Before you told me that in escaping means that you have escaped, therefore was a material part of the actual escape. The plain reading of the language to me indicates this is something that's to happen in the future. Attempted escape.
Well, I thought they was talking about an escape that's accomplished by you, by threatening to use.
Yeah, I know that's what I was told, but
Don,
don't say that to me.
Well, the escape, as it's used here, means that it is an accomplished fact. He has escaped. I mean, that's the way we intended. And that he has, in accomplishing the escape, he has either been aided or used a dangerous or deadly
weapon. But Don's language says he threatens to use a dangerous or deadly weapon in escaping.
In escaping,
I say to the guard, I'm going to pull a gun and I'm going to bust out of this place. He's threatening to use a weapon in escaping.
You didn't threaten at the time you were escaping.
All right, I didn't escape. I went back in my cell and sat down quietly.
Well, one answer to that,
of escape,
we have defined escape
to use a deadly force.
We can also include escaping. In other words, we say escape or escaping means the unlawful departure of a person from custody or detention.
Well, the uses and threatens are different tenses. If he you use the weapon in escaping, obviously you escape. If you threaten to use in escaping, this is a, when I, the word asks, I have time to draw my sword, you gush him up, but I'm threatening to use in escaping.
I think you've got a point there.
Well, but the police actions are going to
be Well, yes, you do.
Yeah, if, in other words, is the part of what you're saying is that that threatening is moot. If he didn't escape, then he didn't hurt anybody by threatening.
Right, but he's still guilty.
He's still guilty.
Yeah, but aren't they drawing a distinction between using, breaking a guy's arm, and threatening to break his arm?
Yeah.
Which is what they're talking about.
That isn't what concerns him, though.
Well, I'm telling you what happened after.
Roger suggests that you can cure that by, in 1 sub 5, use the term escape or escaping means the unlawful departure.
In other words, you have to show an escape.
In the definition. Can I ask a question?
You don't ask us dangerous, Tom. Go ahead.
Well, as I understand this offense, the only difference between it and subsection 1, section 3, is it's aided by another person. Now, how does this relate to our section 12 crimes?
I couldn't hear the question.
How does this rape relate to our section? Crime. What we're essentially saying is there's got to be, this is elevating the offense because it's a conspiracy.
Now,
no.
That isn't what this intends. Now, Dave, the way he's interpreting it, and there's some merit to it, in my opinion, it brings in the connotation of an inchoate crime. Threatens to use a dangerous weapon in escaping.
Yeah.
He could be talking about the future. And actually what we mean is that he simultaneously or in connection with an accomplished escape, he did threaten to use it.
Right.
But what I'm getting at, Tony, is there is no difference. Is there any difference in subsection 1, section 4 and subsection 1, section 3? The only difference is the aided by another person.
Yeah, the reason for that is given on page 13. Fourth paragraph. That in the original, the preliminary drafts, we had aided by two or more other persons, and that was amended.
Makes the danger a great deal more if there's more than one guy.
I agree with that. The only question is we have a whole article on inchoate crimes, which relate back to this. You got a conspiracy to commit an escape is what you're really talking about here, aren't you?
We could have all of the inchoate crimes that would be part of the escape that wasn't accomplished.
If this had been...
What he's defining is the crime of conspiracy to escape.
We'll probably take the word in out from the part of escaping.
It might be.
I think all the way through the thing will do it. That means that escaping is leaving.
You could put in an escape.
Or an escape. Yeah, we define escape as a... I'm off to the dark.
You could say and escapes.
Yeah. You could say and escapes.
Oh, well,
I think
he can threaten one day and escape 2 weeks later.
In an escape, I think would be all right. Well, Mr. Chairman, I move that we amend 3 sub 1 and 4 sub 2 and sub 1 and sub 2 to read in an escape instead of in escape.
Threatens to use physical force in an escape?
No, it doesn't do it either. You still have a future element.
I'd rather use escaping. I'm taking the word in out of the word. Escaping is an active verb, which presumes some.
Well, either that or we go back to the
we'll
definition.
We'll do the same thing.
Go back to the definition section and become an escape or escaping would mean unlawful departure.
Well, it already says unlawful departure when it defines the word escape.
And how do you define both words to mean the actual departure?
Escape or inescaping?
Escape or
means
escaping.
Means unlawful departure?
If it said something in connection with an escape, then it would be tying together.
Well, Jim, I think suggestion is good. After in sub 5 of section section 1, after the word escape, we could also include in escaping. No, escape or escaping means the unlawful departure of a person from custody and so on. And then that would seem to me that would make it clear that you're talking about the actual departure.
If we move the word in there, then we try to escape.
Why don't we just say in connection with an escape?
Then I think it'll understand more, doesn't it?
There won't be a matter of way.
Threatens to use in connection with an escape.
How about
while
escaping?
Well, that doesn't contemplate this.
Well, maybe while. During?
What's wrong with escaping?
During? I want to pause it myself.
During an escape.
Is this the...
Or an attempt?
You see, where we got into trouble on this, for what it's worth,
I'm really
is...
Sorry. I should
have gone. No, I think you've got a good point, because, you see, now, the Michigan and New York approach uses the inchoate crime approach also, in that they say, in escaping or attempting to escape, and with or attempting, it makes more sense, I think. I think it makes it clear you're talking about an actual escape or an attempt to escape. We decided that that wasn't necessary because of our inchoate crimes. Our attempts are covered there under attempts.
How about saying that commits the crime of escape in the second degree if he violates subsection 1 of section 2 and while
we're trying to get a nice clean code doing it, but I don't understand about referring back to some other side.
Why not say during an escape?
How about saying we're in a escaping itself is an active
act of
busting out.
I think that would do it too. Just remove
because
the word
the guy
in.
Who doesn't really accomplish the escape but makes an active effort towards the attempt to do it should also be under one of this. We're going to get ourselves to make it the completed item of ourselves escaping through the inchoate crime.
Well, I don't see why you say in an escape.
Or to escape.
No, in an escape. Why doesn't that mean?
Threatens to use to escape. They're talking about the future then, too. I think if you take the word in out, may not sound good. Say what we mean.
This is the one that we referred to as subcommittee 1 and it came back with a tie vote.
Are we that concerned about your medical solicitations that we can't stop putting the words that we really mean to say?
Well, how about just removing the word in?
Just the way it is. Mr. Graham was given second degree and he uses a physical force against escaping being
cut. Yes.
Yeah, take the word in out.
I've heard you, Dave. I've been with you all the way.
Okay, I so move. Motion's been made that in sub 1 and 2 of section 4, we remove the word in.
Well, and also
sub 1 of section 3.
Yes.
Now, can I ask this question again?
No.
Yes, me.
If I understand it, the only difference between section 4, subsection 1, and the crime of conspiracy to escape would be that the co-conspirator is going to be actually present. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Well, that's at least one.
Huh?
That's at least one of them. Grandma bakes in the hacksaw blade, she has to bring it to you. She can't just put it in the dustbin.
Yeah, you're listening.
Well, I just, the question I have, there's...
Now, the subcommittee went over this so damn long ago.
Finished it 3 or 4 months ago.
Well, actually, I think that removing the word "in" would solve this thing. If Johnson had brought up something else, we'd been all right. Are you ready for the question? To amend by deleting the word "in"?
Question.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried. Section 5.
Wait a minute,
goddammit,
we're still on my question.
I move we table Johnson's question.
Well, I think it's not debatable. I don't think nobody is satisfied.
Lee is right.
I don't think someone has got some question. You're defining what we already have as an inchoate crime, except you added one element to it.
We're redefining the inchoate crime of conspiracy.
You don't want inchoate crime.
And really, we weren't looking at it from the conspiracy standpoint. We were looking at it from the same standpoint that the rationale we used in our robbery, where we enhanced the degree of robbery if you were aided by another person actually present because of the danger to the victim. And this increased the danger of physical injury to the victim. That was the rationale. I think the same rationale applied here, not because it was a conspiracy, but because there was more likelihood of danger to other people.
It would not be horrible after you wiretapped the telephone and the co-conspirator having to do with an escape. It probably would have been illegally, at least under the code. Then you came in and actually foiled the escape and tried to charge him with conspiracy and found that that person whose telephone you wiretapped wasn't there, so he wasn't guilty of escape in the first degree. Now, I'd be really sad about that. Which you have, because you said
you sound like a double talk lady on slap.
Say that again. What have we done?
Well, you wiretap the guy who drives the car and you pick him up over the wall. You find out there's going to be an escape at 4 o'clock on Thursday afternoon from the Sin at Rocky View. You go out there, based on that evidence, you bring a... He also says he's conspired with Joe Schnook inside the Sin, who's going to meet him over the wall. And conspired to escape. You bring a conspiracy based on the wiretap, but you find out that the guy outside wasn't there. So all you get him on is escape in the second degree. And it didn't involve a third person or a second person who was actually present. And what you're talking about in Section 1, subsection 1 of Section 4, is an inchoate crime. Possibly. That is another person actually present. And the presence used in the force.
Well, if a guy, a fellow inmate in the prison gives me the hacksaw to get out, then it'd come under 4. If my buddy on the outside sent it up over the wire, he'd get under 3.
He'd be, prosecuted as a principal, wouldn't he? Would he not?
The guy on the outside?
Yeah, he'd be prosecuted.
Yeah, we're talking about the guy.
Not the first degree.
We're talking about the guy on the inside here.
Well, I know, but you only got him second degree at that point, right?
You only got the guy.
If he's not aided by somebody else present, right?
It's only second degree.
What's wrong with that? I think it's probably pretty reasonable because I think there is a legitimate interest in what you're talking about the mass escape.
Yeah, that's right. And we're going to make it first degree because you planned it with somebody else.
Okay, now, Don, let's take it one step further.
I'm just not so sure that one
prosecution of Section 4, but it doesn't work out. They don't really escape. But you charge them with conspiracy to escape. They call it crime. You've got to have the person actually there to get them to Section 4. Unless they actually use a deadly weapon, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the inchoate crime, conspiring to escape. But you've added an element, that is, it's got another person actually present who conspired with them, not the guy on the outside. Is that what you mean to do?
And that's what you mean to do.
The only question I have in my mind is, you say aided by another person, you mentioned earlier that you talked about aided by two or more persons.
No, just
I'm not sure you really are at the mass escape situation. You've got two guys trying to bust out.
The subcommittee felt two or more was too many, and they said one other guy ought to be enough. So that's
why another person actually present, he escapes, and he's physically forcing escapes.
Along
with that,
it
makes more sense than doesn't it?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion.
I already made one.
You didn't listen to Bruce.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Say it again.
Aided by another person actually present, he escapes in.
Uses a threatened use
of
yeah. Read the rest of it.
Threatens to use physical force in so doing.
We're talking about the riot situation and the weapon for escape and what amounts to. And that's, that should be, I would think, the highest degree. But I think what we should look at, not just a phony, my friend in the South said it's left out.
I don't understand that. What are you trying to get at, Bruce?
Well, I'm trying to get at having an element that he actually succeeds in the escape so that it isn't in color. It requires the success of the
effort. Well, that's sure you need a success, though.
Then you're back in and you
go yeah, that's right.
What constitutes an escape, though? Does it escape
I,
from the
zone? Motion I wanted to make is that I think it should be aided by two or more persons. Well,
we
I don't
out
think
out
we are in the mass escape situation. You know, when you have one guy,
that's
our hard
If I leave my cell and hide in the grounds of the penitentiary, I'm not...
Depends on how big that one person is.
If I just voted on the prevailing side.
It's more than a person himself. It makes the danger.
I think there are.
Get outside the gate
and
under the
assault. I denounce in jail. Isn't there a statute like that in California?
Hiding out in jail? I don't know.
It's a hell of a place to hide out.
Well,
that fella did it here one
time. Maybe something better. It might make it sound better by saying aided by another person actually present, he escapes and while so doing,
uses the
threat.
Just plain language.
What did he?
What? Escapes from where? From custody or
detention
facility?
From custody or detention facility?
From
the
yeah, right. I'm escaping.
I move the adoption of section 4.
It's already been approved.
Did you raise the question? Somebody won't have to move to reconsider it unless you want to, it's been adopted. What if we do make one little mistake? I was misquoted.
I think that's what we mean here, that the guy escapes by means of physical force or threatening while using another person to help himself.
Well, that's certainly what we wanted to mean for the simple reason that if it's just an attempt, we pick it up under inchoate crimes. If it's an attempted escape, then it would fall into the substantial step situation under our draft on inchoate crimes.
Yeah, but can't we take care of this by appropriate commentary? We'll put five paragraphs and we'll just have one word after another, cross, and so on. And everybody that reads it will know what we're meaning.
Don, can you prepare the proper commentary to show what we mean by this with reference to inchoate crimes? Unless there's a motion to reconsider by someone voting on the prevailing side, we'll move to section 5.
We'll move to section 5.
Section 5.
You ain't got
there yet.
Yeah, we just got there.
We just got there fast. I don't think we've got the defense lawyers write the criminal code anymore.
When we sell a code, we'd be sure to sell everybody a copy of the commentary.
You know what we'll probably do is we'll sell the code very cheaply, then we'll really put a premium price on the commentary.
On section 5, isn't this an encoded crime? Yeah.
This article does not make it a crime for a juvenile in a juvenile training school to escape, or a patient at the state hospital. This section makes it a crime to facilitate the escape of those persons.
Or the unlawful cars.
Not from this guy.
That isn't an inchoate crime, because the crime itself here is either aiding or attempting.
Now, when the bar has its discussion of the criminal code, we'll let Dave Frost talk about inchoate crimes.
Can you escape if from an institution where, or can you facilitate somebody escaping from an institution where you don't have escapes?
You don't prohibit.
Well, that's why we use the language unlawful departure instead of escape, because as we define escape, we're excluding those institutions.
Well, if it's not an escape, why isn't it a lawful departure?
Because it's in violation of a court order.
This applies only to juvenile schools and state.
Yeah, right. It
doesn't apply to juvenile institutions.
No.
Is your point, Don, that we should call this facilitating unlawful departure?
I guess I've got a problem and nobody else has, so it's probably all right. Everybody else seems to be happy with it. It must be my
definition, I think, takes care of it. It should be facilitating unlawful. Yeah, I think so too.
No, we define escape. The escape is escape from custody or detention. That's what we're talking about, sexual escape.
Escape to crime.
We define unlawful departure.
Yeah. Is that in the definition?
Yeah.
All right, there's a motion to approve section 5. Any further discussion?
No.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carry. Section 6. All right, Roger, please.
I move to approve.
Oh,
Mr. Chairman, could we go back to section 5?
Yes.
I hate to impede progress, but I think that
Don Carter brought up a good point here.
I think we've got a misnomer here in this section by calling it facilitating escape, because by our definition of escape, which encompasses detention facility, which excludes a juvenile training school or a state hospital, you can't really commit the crime of escape from juvenile training school or a state hospital. But we were trying to get at the bad actor who helps people in those institutions to unlawfully depart. So
I'm sympathetic to that, but I think
we may have overstated it to call it escape. I don't think we should call it escape.
Facilitating unlawful departure.
Yeah. Subsection 4 says detention facility is not included juvenile training school.
Right.
And applies to a state hospital only as the person detained there in charge with a crime.
What we're talking about here is the guy that found not guilty by reason of insanity goes to the state hospital and his buddy helps him try and get out.
Mr. Chairman.
Don, did you say then that it should be facilitating unlawful departure?
I would move to reconsider for the purposes of amending to read as such.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. There's no objection. The title will be facilitating unlawful departure. Then we better change that
second line.
Right.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have another question.
On time?
I regret to say. Is it clear that, this applies only to persons in a state hospital who aren't in there as a result of being charged with a crime?
By definition.
Well, I hope it's clear. Now, you see, in your definition section, they say detention facility does not include, detention facility applies to a state hospital only if the persons who are there charged with a crime, convicted of a crime. I hope it is clear that, therefore, that if I help such a person to leave the state hospital, I would be guilty as a principal two, three, or four, depending upon.
To be charged with either.
But the wording in five, a person confined by court order, seems broad enough to perhaps wipe that out. Is it clear that?
It's not. What you've got to do is to use the definition of detention facility in here. Because otherwise, we're taking into section 5, the man is confined in a state hospital by reason of consent.
Yeah, what we mean by section 5 is, or a state hospital, or a person in a state hospital not detained therein charged with a convicted crime, or is using some language.
Yeah, do you really achieve that?
No.
Well, it seems to me that, in other words, section 5 would apply only to the normal patient in the mental hospital. If I help him get out.
Can't you? If he's been there, placed there as a result of a civil commitment.
Yeah.
Now, he can't be guilty of escape under our definition of detention facility.
But somebody could be guilty of this
for helping him to escape. Right.
Right.
Because, and
the guy
who could commit the crime of escape in his own right, would bring in anyone to assist him as a principal. So,
but I'm not sure that if I help a guy leave the state hospital who's there because he's charged with a crime and whatever, and you seek to prosecute me under 2, 3, or 4, I'm not sure I couldn't properly come in and say the only crime I can be guilty of is 5.
What you mean to say now is the escape of any person who is not within the area of detention facility as
the only problem I can see is that, one, the escape will probably be a felony, and this will probably be a misdemeanor. And you might have a problem there where you're prosecuting a felony, and he's going to say,
well, why can't we spell it out?
Yeah. Well,
we can refer to it, but we can refer to detention facility. Any person who is not in a detention facility is defined by section 1, sub 4. That's what we mean to do. And we use that same definition.
Give us that language.
Person confined by a court order who is not in a detention facility is defined by, I don't know.
Well, is a person confined by court order in a juvenile training school or a state hospital not detained therein, charged with, convicted of a crime, or detained therein after criminal crime by reason of a disease or defect. In other words, we're then excluding all people in state hospitals who are not there because of charged with.
Well, you don't need all that language in.
That's what we meant to say. Yeah.
You don't need all that language in your section, right? Because of your definition of detention.
Chairman, I suggest
they do, but it's difficult to formulate language which excludes that which is included in the definition. But it can be done.
General, you have just made an excellent suggestion. The staff make proper amendments.
Yes, we certainly will.
Now may we go to six.
So they'll make it out.
You make the guy who carries concealed sandwiches guilty of another crime.
Oh. If he brings them in,
yeah, but by the time we get through a joinder on this thing, I won't have
I might note on subsection 2 of these, section 67, we do bring in the person confined.
You sure do. And I'm a corrections officer, and I just stop a guy and I charge him with the crime of carrying concealed sandwiches.
I
go
to
the attorney and ask for a prosecution on that crime.
Of course, sandwiches is one way to trafficking drugs as far as the penal institutions are concerned.
How do we get to the problem? It is a problem. And how do we get to it?
Well, I don't know, but I'm not sure I want to give the weight of Oregon law to the fact that you've got a rule that says a guy can't run around with carrying a bunch of sandwiches stuffed in his shirt.
You want to rule all that, but I don't know what prohibits.
I would be disturbed about this section if we were talking about making it a felony. If we're making it a misdemeanor, my God, we're all through our entire code. We've got administrative authority to people, they make it a violation of their rules, a misdemeanor. And I can't see.
You
take your case. It's a common case. Well,
yeah, but it can be pretty damn serious for people.
You got the same situation.
So the utility commissioner over here can create some things that.
What jury initiative is that?
He has.
Well, I don't.
Yes.
Or that's kind of ridiculous.
Well, sometimes you have to make a positive cover the things that are ridiculous in order to save the situation in serious cases.
You know, like.
If they don't want to have sandwiches, they shouldn't have the goddamn sandwiches. It isn't. Doesn't hurt anything.
Playboy magazine is contraband.
Same thing.
Well, that's contraband in my house.
Under our correctional code, you give the superintendents of these institutions broad rulemaking power to control the administration of these institutions. It says the superintendent shall keep all inmates safely, and with approval of the administrator, etc., may prescribe rules for the government of the inmates, subject to the approval of the administrator.
Colin, you said earlier that you weren't going to bleed about this thing.
No, I'm not going to bleed. I just, the whole idea of tribunals within jails is another issue that I think is a real knotty one for the disciplinary court proceedings in a jail, in a jeopardy situation. You know, this is a real kettle of worms if you really want to get into it. I'll just withdraw any objection I have.
Good.
Very good.
Mr.
Chairman?
Second.
Yes.
I have one question came up after I answered this.
Okay.
On sub 2 of each section 6 and 7, we include those confined in a state hospital. We include persons confined in a state hospital, and I wonder if that shouldn't be limited to persons confined in a state hospital charged with or convicted of a crime. In other words, we're making mental patients guilty criminal charge here for possessing contraband.
Knowingly,
and that doesn't seem to be a great deal of sense.
Certainly stimulate the wanton defenses.
Make it pretty tough to.
I suppose I can plead inability to assist in my own defense.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
I move the previous question.
Mr. Chairman, I move that in accordance with Roger's suggestion that we have the staff draft appropriate language to make it clear that 6 and 7, we seek to reach only those confined in the state hospital.
Charge
and so forth, the language of sub 4 of the
shouldn't we vote on policy issues?
Yeah, the policy matter, giving a item of contraband which happens to be a switchblade knife to a mental patient who's there just because he's nuts is as dangerous to the people who are taking care of him as
I wouldn't limit it to the person supplying the
the person inside, subsection 2.
All you have to do is just delete those.
Well,
well, we approve.
A guy might be a patient in the state hospital who has got the brains enough to know that he shouldn't have switchblade knives and enough mentality to be convicted of it if he keeps doing it.
Would the knowingly knights take care of our problem?
I would think.